Jonah 3, if you're there, say amen. Amen. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. And Jonah rose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one of them from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell? That's a great sermon right there, and I'm not hitting it tonight. If God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. Our Father, I come to you tonight, a needy preacher tonight. I want your power on me like it was this morning and like it has been these weeks prior. I cannot preach without your unction. We cannot even receive the word without your Holy Ghost. Prepare hearts. Help folk get right with God tonight. Right with each other tonight. And Lord, give us a group of souls saved and lives changed. And we'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Jonah is one of 12 minor prophets. Now you say, why was the minor prophets minor? They were not minor because they did not have substance. They were not major only for one reason. They did not have the length and the breadth that some of the other major prophets had. They were called minor prophets. Every one of you are familiar with this passage of scripture in this book. We sang songs about it. I remember going with the Joy class up and saw Jonah with them up in the Amish country. That was a great thrill to me. That was an awesome production. In this chapter, as we study it, we see there was a great fish. And by the way, in the New Testament, they further described the fish as a whale. As Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days and three nights, the Bible said, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Kind of does away with that Good Friday thing. Good preaching, Reverend. So we see a great fish. And then we've seen a great city. Nineveh was a great city, a large city, a spread out city. But Nineveh was a wicked, ungodly city. And then we see, and by the way, Nineveh's mentioned 9 times. Fish mentioned 4 times. And then we see Jonah, he was mentioned 18 times in this chapter. But I want you to know this message tonight is not about a great city. It is not about a great fish. It is not about a great man named Jonah. But this message tonight is about a great God. Amen. That we serve. Amen. 38 times God is mentioned. You may be in, listen to me, you may be in the story, but you can't change lives. But how many's glad you got a God that can move into your life and change your life and make it different? Somebody ought to help me preach right there. I've got a God, when he saves, he changes you. I've got a God that's able to do a work in you that is unbelievable, unimaginable. What a wonderful God we serve.
Amen.
When he dealt with Jonah and Nineveh, he gives us a great perspective on how he deals with his people in this year of 2017. I'm glad. It means something to me to serve this God. Somebody help me right there. Jonah didn't do what he should do. And Jonah didn't go where he should have went. You said, why is God so great? Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. It said, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time.
Right.
How many of y'all in this room have flopped every once in a while in your life? Maybe you're a sinner in your life, somebody, but you made a bunch of errors. How many right now probably could get up and testify of the second chances that God has gave you? Somebody, I thank God for a great God that doesn't give up on his people.
Amen.
I'm thankful that I'm serving him. It's a wonder he hadn't said, I'm done with you, John Smith. But I am glad tonight. I am thrilled tonight that my God's not done with me.
Amen.
And he's not done with you. You might be saying, Preacher Smith, you don't know what I've done in my life. Neither do I care what you've done in your life. You say, well, how can I know that God will give me a second chance? Now, this is an opportunity for the audience to get involved. Jeff, I'm going to tell you how you can know you got a second chance. With me, let's all do this pattern. Watch me, because you get your chance. Go ahead and do it. Come on. Come on, every one of you. As long as you're breathing.
That's right.
As long as you're breathing, God is still operating.
Amen.
I want you to know I'm glad at that. There's some people who would say, that would do away with people and not give them another chance and say, well, they failed. They're unprofitable. But you hear me out tonight. You hear me out tonight. I got a God who is a God of the second chance. You said, I have flopped it in my life, but God has not flopped. God's still on the throne.
Amen.
God is still a forgiving God.
Amen.
Let's look at the story. I'll give you three or four things and let you go home. Number one, I want you to notice in chapter 1, the rebellion of this saint. Come on now. By the way, you can run, but you can't hide. God called him to preach. God called him to preach to Nineveh. Number one, he ran from the call of God. Now, I'm going to stop here for a minute. There may be some room, people in this room that is sensing God working in your life to preach or to be a missionary, and you've been running from it, thinking you're not capable and you're not worthy. Can I tell you, stop running from God. The worst thing you can do is run from God. There may be some people in here, you're unsaved, on your way to hell. Quit running from God. God wants to save you tonight.
Amen.
Verse chapter 1, he ran from God. Chapter 2, or chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, he rejected God's plan. What was God's plan for his life? Preach to Nineveh. Where did he go? He went to Tarshish. Am I right? God had a plan. I want you to know. Can I say something to you teenagers? Can I say something to you, some of you moms and dads? Now, you know what the greatest place in the world for you to be tonight? Is right center. In the center of God's will.
Amen.
Somebody help me preach right there.
Amen.
You say, Preacher Smith, are you telling me that God could do anything with me, send me anywhere, but if I'm in the center of his will, I'm in the best possible place I could be. Somebody help me preach. I want you to know, oh, happy day when God put me in his will, called me to a place. I came to this place. Hey, I want you to know, I've had my ups and downs. I've had my ins and outs. But I want you to know I'm not going to question one thing, and that I am in the center of God's will. And I know that God has had his hand on me. And I know God is faithful. And I do not want to run from his call or reject his plan.
Amen.
Amen. I want y'all all to know something. God is right about everything. Teenager, you don't have to look on TV to find the will of God and find the will for your life from some rock star. Hollywood's right from the devil. Just about every one of them people are parasite, ungodly, heathen. You say, you ought to preach so hard. I'm telling it like it is. They're heathen. And if you think Harvey Weinstein or Weinstein or whatever his stupid name is the only one that does it, you're wrong. Before this thing falls through, before all, we probably see the whole Senate and Congress get messed up.
Yeah.
Somebody help me right here. Is it a horrible thing for your taxpayer money paying off some of them heathens' bad deeds?
Yeah.
I think they ought to expose every one of them, and they ought to every one of them pay it back. Hey, if we got to get right and we got to do right, how about that bunch of liberal heathens?
Amen.
And it's not a Democrat thing or that whole group's messes. That wasn't in my sermon. Amen? Oh, some of you kids, you know, you're heroes. You want to pattern your life after some athlete, after LeBron. Or Tigger, I call him. I'll say something else about him later on tonight. But Jonah got a word from God, a potent word, a powerful word. Go down to Nineveh and preach. But he rejected. How many times have you rejected God? God wanted you to do something. Maybe something you might think is insignificant in the church, but he wanted you to do something. And you cannot run from it, and you should not reject it. And number three, he resided in his own choices. By the way, once you make your choice to depart, and once you make your choice to reject, then you're going to have to live with your choices. Is that good preaching? See, I'm talking about a God that wants your life tonight. I'm tired of hearing this stuff. I know it's not right, preacher, but I can't help myself. I know it's not right. I know it's not right me living lost and on my way to hell. I know it ain't right, preacher, but I can't do anything. Yes, you can do something about it. Repent tonight and get saved.
Amen.
You might say, preacher, I know it's not right for me to live about as far away from God as I can to get by with it. How many believe, like I believe, you ought to live just as close to God and see how much you can stand it? Somebody help me preach right. Thank God I want to be so close to God, right where the heat is lowest, right where the warm power of God is, and just see how hot it can get.
Amen.
Boy, I sense some preaching in my soul tonight. Number two, I want you to notice in verse number four and on in chapter one, the repercussions for his sin. Notice something. He went down to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa. He went down in the ship. How many of you agree with me? When you get away from God, the journey's downward. You know what the Bible said in verse 4? But God sent a wind. You say, what's that mean? God rocked his boat. Let me tell you something. I'm going to preach this strong. Right now, I'm going to preach this about as strong as I ever preach it. I'm going to preach it. If you are saved and disobedient unto God, your ship will get rocked. But listen to me carefully. If you say you're saved and God doesn't rock your ship and you're not getting any chastisement for your rebellion, you look at me. You've been fooled. You're not really saved. You're on your way to hell. You said, I'm a member of the church. You're fooled. You're deceived. See, the Bible says if you be without chastisement, you're none of his. I guarantee you, if this big crowd tonight, if you're out of the will of God tonight, your ship is getting rocked. Am I right? I notice jolting the plan. You know, God's going to get you in his will, even if he has to jolt you. But notice secondly in this passage of scripture, he jeopardized other people. Hello? See, here's the problem. Not only was God going to judge him, but everybody in that ship was going to get judged because of him. And this bothers me. You care about your parents? You care about your family? You care about your people around you? Do you not know your choice against God will cost somebody even other than you? Somebody say amen. One of the saddest stories I've ever been identified with. We used to have associate pastor back, I'm talking about back 35 or 36 years ago, and most of you would have a clue who he is. There'll be a few people know who I'm talking about. His name's Roger Connor. Anybody remember Roger? About 5 or 6 of us. Roger Connor, good man. He was pastoring over in Eleanor, had me come over and hold a revival. I went in that place on Monday, he started preaching. God saved some people. And there was one man who had been saved every night. Here's what he done, Jeff. He held on till his knuckles got blue. And I went up to the pastor. I said, Pastor, what about him? You don't know about him? Preacher, he was in the will of God at one time in his life. And he made this statement. God, if I ever get out of your will, take everything away from me. He had 4 or 5 kids. They got drowned over in the Kanawha River. Lost his whole family. See, here's the problem. You just think sin is only going to be dealt with you and have no repercussions to anybody else. But you look me right in my eyeball tonight. There's repercussions for everybody because of your sin. How about David? He had fourfold repercussion. Lost that baby. His own son raped his daughter. His other son killed him. And David had to kill that one son in battle. And the sword fell on him 4 times. Never touched David's head, but it sure touched everybody else's head. I often thought, what in God's name would I do if my sin affected my kids? Boy, it's quiet in here now. You ought to raise your hand and praise God that God is a God of second chances. And then I see him, the judgment of God prepared. You know what God done? And look at verse number 17. God prepared a great fish. Now I know some of you that you, the Universal Church of Canada, doesn't believe in this story. But I want you to know, there was a fish that swallowed Jonah. And Jonah cried from down in the belly of that fish. A lot of people said Jonah died. I don't believe it, because he had some prayer meeting down in the fish. Y'all still with me? Now before you, I want you to notice this. I notice, thirdly, some repentance with sincerity. Look at chapter number 2. Notice verse number 2. And just go on through some of these verses with me. And he said, I cried. I notice a personal, he had a personal repentance. He said, I cried. Go on in the chapter, for thou hast cast me. He said, I cried out of hell, or I cried I out of hell. Verse 4 said, then I. He said, I am cast out. Then he says, my soul fainteth. I remember the Lord. My prayer came into unto thee in the into thy holy temple. My. You say, what are you saying, preacher? Notice that personal pronoun. You want to get right today, you need to get right personally with him. I'm going to say this tonight. It's hard to find people that really repent. Can I slow down? I'll be done until my time is up. Now I'm going to tell you what repentance is not. Repentance is not getting caught. And then you get all snotty nosed. Boy, is it quiet in here or not? And you getting all upset. See, you know what I call that? Worldly sorrow. Let me tell you what, shame on us. You know what real repentance is? That you change your mind about what you were doing, and it causes you to change your direction. Amen. You're not telling me you repent and come up and get on the altar and cry and weep and repent and then go out the next day and do the same thing you've already done. Come on, somebody help me. We need America to repent. We need our churches. We need some people to repent, and we'll know you're repenting when you changed. You can't just keep doing the same sin over and over. Hey, you know what you need to do? If you're on pornography, you need to repent of it and quit. If you're drinking alcohol, you need to repent of it and quit. If you're smoking a dope stick every once in a while to calm your nerves, you need to let the great tranquilizer Jesus calm your nerves.
Amen.
It was personal. He said, I cried. He pleaded. You know what I like to see, Jeff? I like to see a bunch of real, some of our Baptist church, just look at their life. And if there was anything wrong, I'd like to see you, instead of being proud and puffed up, come around and hit an altar and say, God, I'm repenting of my sin, my critical attitude, my bitter spirit. Come on, my apathy. Am I preaching? By the way, you're not repenting if you're still bitter. I'm going to say this. I'm going to slow down. Do you know bitterness is one of the worst contagions I see in Christian people? Just bitter. Cindy, I know folks that are bitter, and it's been so long, they don't even know what they're bitter about. They're just bitter. And you can't just have a critical attitude about God and his work and say you're right with God.
Right.
Am I preaching? Moses, I just thought I'd preach tonight. You know what we need in our churches? We need a little less of the Benny Hinn, Joe Osteen phenomenon. We need some old-timey Baptists getting back on an altar and saying, God, I sinned. God, I failed. God, I'm miserable. But I want to come back to you, and I want a second chance, and I want you to use my life again.
Amen.
And be sincere. Amen. Be sincere. Just get right with God. I want you to know something. Jared, I'm about to shout here. I got a great God that will give you another chance.
Amen.
Woo! His repentance was personal. Pleading it was passionate. And then it was productive. Because guess what happened? This happened. It's just not another fish story. The fish vomited him up on dry ground. Could you imagine that? Could you just imagine it in your mind? Here comes that whale getting out 200 or 300 meters from the shore. And God's saying, spit him up. I could just see that whale. Could you see him flying in the air? Landing on the ground. Said, what in God's name happened to me? Tell you what happened to him. A thrice holy God gave him another chance.
Amen.
A loving, careful, caring, marvelous God responded to his repentance. You might say, preacher, I've sinned too much. He won't forgive me. Yes, he will. Amen. Preacher, I've messed up too much. I'm already on my 10th chance. Thank God he keeps giving you a chance as long as you're breathing.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
And I'll finish chapter 3 where we started. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time and said, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. He ran the first time, but this time he heard God's word. This time in verse 3, he heeded God's word. Amen. You know, God's trying to talk to some of you. Some of you young people are trying to talk to you about your music. Come on now. Some of you in this room, God's trying to talk to you about your habits.
Amen.
What is it, quiet in here? What y'all do, die? You say, you're hitting me. Well, that's what I'm supposed to do. He heard God's word. He heeded God's word. But listen to this. Verse 4. Look what it said. Did y'all not? I hope you didn't pass up in verse 4, Jared. Jared, I hope we didn't pass it up. Let me read 3 and 4. I want y'all to know something. So Jonah rose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was a exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Did you notice that, Jared? How many of y'all noticed that? Did you notice this? Look at verse 4. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. You say, what did he do? He made haste. What would take him 3 days, he made it in 1 day. You know what God's wanting some of you to do tonight? Instead of you just keep waiting, keep putting it off. Hey, there's some of you lost in here. You're so far from God, been running from God. Instead, you keep running from God. Run toward God.
Amen.
Make some haste. Get desperate. Some of you Christians, you know you're living on the edge, don't you? You know you're living. You love God. I'm not even questioning it. But you're living on that edge. Just right on the edge. You know what you need to do tonight? Get busy and make some haste. And it ought not take you 3 days. You ought to get right with it right now. Man, the Holy Ghost is working in this room. I believe that. I believe Holy Ghost working in this room. I wish one time y'all forget about who the preacher is. Forget about who the associates is, the deacons are. Don't even think about it. I want you to do this for me. Ask yourself in your soul right now, is there anything between me and God? Just ask it in your soul. Is there anything between me and God? And if there is, you know what you ought to do? Say, man, I'll tell you what. Preacher, I'm not as bad as you think. I ain't saying you are. You might just be angry and bitter and unforgiving. He is. Hello? I'm going to make haste tonight. If I were you sitting under this preaching, say, preacher, I need a second chance. I flopped in life. Everybody thinks I'm a loser. As long as God's on your side, you're not a loser. Amen. And as long as you've got God, you've got a chance. Right. Am I preaching?
Amen.
You got a chance to make it right. Make all the years you've failed right tonight. If you're lost tonight, I beg you. I beg you. Don't run from God. I beg you. How many times has God worked on your soul and tried to get you saved? How many times he knocked on your heart and said, I want you to get saved, and you rejected it? Tonight, you ought to come and get saved. Or come and get right. And let me, you know, there ought to be a bunch of us say, I need to be closer to God. I ain't close as I used to be, but I want it back. God's a God of second chances. Staying with your heads bowed and eyes closed. Noah looking around. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm finished. We're not 7 o'clock yet either. How many right now say, Preacher Smith, I'm not saved, but I need to be. And I want you to pray for me. How many's not saved? You're not a Christian. If you die tonight, you'd be in hell. But you want another chance to be saved. Raise your hand if you're not saved. Raise them up. Say, I want another chance. Slip it up. How many's in here and you're saved? But you've been disobedient. You're not where you used to be. How many slip up your hand and say, I need to get it back. I need to get it back. Come on, yeah, all over. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to come up around here and just say, God, I want to get my power back, my joy back, my thrill back. I want a second chance. Father, thank you for this time together. Help this invitation move on people's life, and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you come? Hurry.
I've wandered
come on.
Far away
come on.
From God.
Y'all not wait. Y'all to not wait. I need that second chance tonight. I want it right. Yes. Yes. Are you saved? If not, come on. Thank you. Be seated a minute.